Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob here with our coverage of Monday night's Celebrity Apprentice 2-hour extravaganza. We're going to talk about the part one of the Celebrity Apprentice finale, plus a little bit of the clip show that they ran in the first hour with Mike Bloom. Normally, I do this show live on Monday nights, but I was covering night two of the Better Call Saul premiere on post-show recap, so Mike and I ended up just recording an audio version of the Celebrity Apprentice podcast here on Tuesday. Now, before we get to the show, I want to thank our sponsor for this episode of Rob as a Podcast, and it's a new sponsor, and our friends over at Vegas.com. Now, Vegas.com is a really great site if you are thinking about planning a trip to Las Vegas, because it's run by people who really know Vegas and have lots of different ways to save you money on everything you're going to do in Vegas while you're there, from hotel accommodations to all sorts of different shows. Basically, it's a great time to go to Vegas in the spring between spring break, March Madness. There's all sorts of NASCAR and club events, and people are saving a lot of money. $84 off at Bellagio, $56 off at Luxor, $90 off at Caesars. You could even save money if you go and stay at the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. I hear it's beautiful and glamorous and a very classy hotel. So with our special promo code, you get 10% off everything they've got there on Vegas.com. It's the only way to do a trip to Vegas, because they have the inside knowledge about what you need to know for your Vegas trip. Plus, they've got a feature called Drop Watch, where if you book a trip and the price lowers before you go, you will save the money when you use Vegas.com. So whether it's for shows or tours or attractions, check out Vegas.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Enter the promo code RHAP and get an extra 10% off on everything but airfare and hotel packages. That's Vegas.com. Click the microphone. Get your bonus savings by using the secret code RHAP and book today. And here we go. Let's talk Celebrity Apprentice with Mike Bloom. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the man who will soon be replaced with a mechanical dog, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our belated Celebrity Apprentice wrap-up. After the 2 hours of Celebrity Apprentice, 1 hour of classic stuff, 1 hour of new stuff as we got down from the final three to the final two. And here with me is the man who yesterday we were going to podcast, but we decided to blow it off to go on the roller coasters. Here he is. Give it up for Mr. Mike Bloom.
I got us some hot dogs, Rob. I was just waiting in line for that entire 24 hours, and I grabbed us a couple. But we don't need to go shopping, right? We don't need to bring anything back.
By the way, Mike Bloom, I was listening to J.V. Smoove on Howard Stern this week, and it sounds like he will not be back as the host of Last Comic Standing.
Ooh, I think that's amidst the many apparent production problems with Last Comic Standing. Last time I heard, production was delayed like 3 months ago. So we'll see. Hopefully, Last Comic Standing does not go the way of the Clark curse. I'm crossing my fingers for NBC for a myriad of reasons.
Yeah, it was an interesting interview with J.B. Smoove. He would be a great Celebrity Apprentice contestant.
Yeah, I think he'd be great. If you know, NBC execs, obviously you're listening. Please renew this show for a variety of reasons and put J.B. Smoove on. I think he'd definitely impress.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the Celebrity Apprentice renaissance, it feels like.
It really is. And I mean, I've been looking at the ratings, and I don't know if the ratings have been up from All-Stars, but they've been holding with the season before All-Stars, the Arsenio Hall and Clay Aiken season, which is pretty remarkable considering that it had like a 2-year gap before it premiered. And, you know, PhoneGate was the most watched episode of the season. It had almost 7 million people watching it, which is like pretty astounding considering its placement and the fact that they've been double booking these episodes. So I'm remaining optimistic about the future of Celebrity Apprentice. Donald Trump has apparently gone onto some sort of show and said that they've been renewed for 3 more seasons. But it's Donald Trump, so I'm very unlikely to believe him at this moment.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure if the world was in love with the idea of the clip show. It seemed like just about 5 million people tuned in for the Celebrity Apprentice Best Of. So maybe got to keep those new episodes coming.
Yeah, and I know I questioned this out loud on the podcast last week, but I'm still confused as to what the motive of the producers were on this clip show. Are they using it as a farewell for the show, or do you think that they're using it as a way to like bring in new viewers to remind them about what the show's about so they can get renewed?
Yeah, I think that they went to bring in more people and figuring that people would come back to it, because I felt like it really leaned very heavily on the first couple seasons. But that being said, it seemed like it was a wrong turn for the ratings to do this clip show.
Yeah, it's, and especially to have it be like the second to last episode. You know, that's why Survivor planned their recap episodes around like Thanksgiving or March Madness, these times when you know that less people are going to be watching your show. Don't do it like the penultimate episode. Though, yeah, who knows? They might have been left to kind of improvise something after Trump ad hoc fired three people last time.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, of the four major networks, Celebrity Apprentice came in last at an 8 o'clock hour last night.
I was going to say with NBC these days, that's not uncommon, but it actually is uncommon. I believe NBC has become the number one network in 18 to 49 through a variety of shows. Celebrity Apprentice, not amongst them, of course.
All right. Well, let's not spend too much time on the ratings. Let's talk about Celebrity Apprentice from last night. Let's start off and talk about the actual episode, and then we'll get into some of the stuff from the clip show. And I'm sure you have some musings about what was in the clip show and what was not in the clip show. But I guess our top story tonight, Vivica A. Fox is out.
Wow, who could have called that one?
Oh my God, Vivica Fox. And again, it seems like it was a common thing this season that people are just like quitting. Like Donald Trump has probably fired like two people. Like he fired like Kevin Jonas and then I guess Ian Ziering and then basically, I don't know, Johnny Damon and Brandi Glanville were both doing the like, oh, well, I don't want to tell you to fire the other person. So I guess, but really, very few people have actually been like fighting and screaming in the boardroom where it's a lot like, yeah, I guess it's got to be me.
Yeah, this is like the Survivor Palau of Celebrity Apprentice seasons in terms of there's just people that are like, yeah, this person deserves to stay above me. I guess I deserve to go home, which is not exciting to watch. But I'll remain optimistic and say, on the other hand, you do have these people that will fight tooth and nail. I was disappointed in Vivica, Rob. I was, for being such an electric character the whole season, she kind of tucked her tail between her legs and went home without any sort of fight to her.
Right?
Kind of a yawner to me, boss.
Yeah. So that was kind of a yawner for the final three boardroom.
Yeah, at least it lasted only like 10 minutes, you know. And they've kind of alternated on and off of doing actual interviews or Donald Trump just bringing everyone in and him being like, you're fired. I don't know what Vivica's chances would have been had she argued, but it did. She might have thought it was the more respectful manner to say, be honest and say that Lisa was a better competitor than her. But in terms of good TV, it was very much lacking.
It's like, Mr. Trump, I'm tired. I'd like to go home now, Mr. Trump, if I may. Exactly. Geraldo and Lisa are both better than me. I outlasted Kenya. I'm good to go.
Yeah, maybe that was her goal. Maybe once she realized she was in the final three, she's like, "Oh, all right. Well, I made it as far as I need to. I'm good with this. Just send me down to Orlando for the next few days, and then I'm good to go."
Yeah, I think she sort of, they felt bad about what happened with the phone gate thing, and they're like, "Oh, we got to make this right by Vivica. All right, let her go a couple more weeks."
Yeah, it was like a pity, not necessarily a hiring, yes, but like a pity sustaining in the game.
Yes. No, it was so crazy that they asked her, so Vivica, why would you be better than Lisa? She's like, there wouldn't be a reason.
And I love, she's like, I've always been honest.
Yes.
I've always been honest. Like, I don't think it's honest to talk yourself up, Vivica.
Yeah.
You know, you can bend the truth a little bit to make yourself seem better instead of being like, nope, there's no one better than her. I am the scum of the earth right now, and she is the high peasant. So please get rid of me. But please fly me down to Orlando for a few days. As long as you do that, I'll be good.
Yeah. And Lisa, I mean, she's very good in the boardroom. She's almost like in the boardroom, she's almost like the Jay Farrow incarnation of Stephen A. Smith. Like, they asked a question about Vivica, and like the ultimate punchline to the story is that, you know, Geraldo was more deserving than Vivica. But she's like, Mr. Trump, Vivica is the hardest worker I've ever met. Vivica is absolutely fantastic. I've learned so much from her. She's amazing. But I would say that Geraldo is probably a better competitor. Like, you know,
all she needs to do is start spelling things out, and then she'll be close to Stephen A. Smith in that regard.
Yeah, she really puts people down easy. Like, she really like builds them up, and then, you know, then delivers the criticism.
Yeah, she plays the political game a lot, which makes her an extremely polished contestant. I would say she was one of the most polished contestants in Celebrity Apprentice history. We have not seen a bead of sweat down her forehead whatsoever, even in this final task. But doesn't make for the most exciting TV necessarily to just see. I wouldn't go as far to say that like Lisa is like an ice queen status of like, you know, you can't perturb her whatsoever. But she's very calm and she's very mild mannered, which definitely works to her advantage. But I mean, compared to Geraldo and Vivica, in terms of a good TV standard, I would much rather see the two of them box it out from a soundbite quality than to have Lisa be there.
Who are you rooting for, Lisa or Geraldo?
Loaded question. I guess my heart of hearts is rooting for Lisa, because as much as I know that, spoiler alert to anyone who's listening to this show for the first time, the Celebrity Apprentice is kind of a joke of a show.
Mike Bloom?
A good joke, though. It's a great joke.
Like a joke you want to repeat over and over again.
Yeah, it's like the Aristocrats. You know, everyone has a different take
with Les
on
Gilbert
it.
Gottfried.
Only three episodes of him, so yes. It's like they cut him off after like the minute mark of his joke. But I would say that like as much as we want to say that the show is kind of like, you know, Donald Trump just picks his friends and they have these wacky inane competitions, there definitely is still a part of me that's like, I want this competition to be legitimate and I want the best person to win. And Lisa has been unflappable. She's been responsible for so many different wins in a variety of capacities when she's been working on this show. She really hasn't lost. She hasn't been brought back into the boardroom. She hasn't been shown in a negative light at all. So like, I think in the bottom of my heart, I would want her to win, especially because she seems so solid. But I mean, this is the type of show where someone like Geraldo could get away with winning, and I'd be completely fine with that as well.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Lisa, I have to say. I loved having Geraldo on the show. If they did another All-Stars, I would love for Geraldo to be there. But I feel like Lisa is somebody that I don't think you could say anything negative about Lisa. I don't think she had a misstep the entire season. And I also feel like Donald Trump has been very male heavy on the people that tend to make the finals on Celebrity Apprentice. So I feel like Celebrity Apprentice 7 or 8?
7, yeah.
7. And so out of the potential final 12, what has it been? 8-4 men to women?
There's been 4 women. It was Annie Duke, Joan Rivers, Holly Robinson Pete, and Marley Matlin were the only 4 women that have made, and now Lisa makes 5.
Yeah.
That have made Celebrity Apprentice, and only one has won, and it was Joan. And it's sort of like a Big Brother thing where when a woman and a man have been in the finals together, the woman has never beaten the man. But this might be the best chance we get of that happening.
Yeah. And so I would say that I am rooting very much so for Lisa.
Yeah. But I don't know. We can't count out Geraldo as much as they tried to show his team in Jeopardy, because at the end of the day, with the Celebrity Apprentice, for people who are friends of Donald Trump, whether that's Arsenio Hall or Joan Rivers, if you do moderately well at the final task, there's a very good chance Trump is going to hire you. So something tells me in my heart of hearts that as long as Geraldo does pretty good at the final task, Trump is going to put him into serious contention for the win.
All right, let's talk about this final task, which is going to be, there's always a universal task on Celebrity Apprentice. This time it's the final task of the season. They always do one event where they have to go down to Universal and do something. I believe it was, I think for the first time, maybe it was Celebrity Apprentice 4, the Blago season.
That was 3. 3 was the Blago season.
That was 3. And they had the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and they do stuff like that. And then we have, you know, famously, we had stuff with Penn where he's doing magic. We had the great, whose idea was it to basically do the cardboard cutout? I believe that was Dee Snider.
I think it was Dee Snider in like the second task last year to do the cardboard cutouts all around Universal.
So all of those things could have been in that best of package from last night. So this year we're going down there. And could you explain what the like, it seems like we're just like selling vacations.
This is the most, this is probably the most disjointed final task I've ever imagined. And you know what? It might lend credit to my theory that maybe they had like the commercial task as an extra task. But since Trump cleaned out the other team, they're like, oh, I guess we're going to just put these two together and have it happen. So what they're doing is it's threefold. They're supposed to, one, sell 10 vacation packages for Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, as made famous by all the 90s Nickelodeon shows where they were always filmed.
Yeah.
I always wanted to go there and get slimed. I don't know where the slime is nowadays. But they have to sell the vacation packages, and that's sort of the fundraising aspect of it. They have to create a commercial for Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, and that's the creative phase. And then they fly back to New York and have a red carpet celebration for their commercial, apparently. They're like the commercial viewing party.
Yes.
And I guess that's the event aspect of the task. So they're kind of combining, it's like a chimera of a final task in terms of there's a lot of elements that don't really fit together, but it creates a hell of a task at the end of the day.
Well, that's going to be exciting.
I'm really excited I wish I was invited to this commercial viewing party to go in and be like, all right, you're going to watch this 30-second commercial and then listen to Olivia Newton-John sing.
Actually, Olivia Newton-John is here for this podcast. I booked her for the entertainment.
Is she?
Yes.
Is she on roller skates?
Here she comes.
And there she goes.
We're having a podcast listening party. Come take my hand. Yes, get the crowd pumped up.
Oh, man. She better be dressed up in her Xanadu costume, or I will throw a fit.
Yeah. Let's talk about the teams that we ended up getting for our finalists here. Now, in the past, we've had a draft. Have we done it before in Celebrity Apprentice where they just like, okay, you get these three people, you get these three people. They were just like waiting in the office.
It happened last year. I think.
What's wrong with the draft?
I don't know. Well, let's think about the people that were drafted. I think they wanted to create a little bit of controversy by putting some combination of Ian, Kevin, and Lorenzo on Geraldo's team. I feel like if they did a draft, I feel like Geraldo wouldn't pick any of those three. So it would be Lisa with those three guys versus Geraldo with everyone else. And that doesn't create any sort of fun drama. So I think they wanted to stir the pot a little bit and just kind of hand the teams to them. As I said, they've done that before, but I don't think they've ever done it where they're just like sitting in the room waiting for the person to come in. I think Trump has like said like, okay, you're going to get these people. You're going to get these people. It's not going to be a big like surprise when they just walk in and happen to see people.
Yeah. It's interesting. Who is the person that you feel like it's the biggest miss on the Celebrity Apprentice that we did not bring them back this season?
All right, so let's do a quick rundown of the people who have been eliminated and see if they had the potential to be brought back. Keisha Knight Pulliam, no.
We needed more Cosby information.
I think the further they extend that 10-foot pole to stay away from the whole Cosby controversy, the better. Not that type of 10-foot pole.
Yeah, I do have to say, I feel like the Cosby thing died down a little bit.
Well, now like, that we have Brian Williams gate on
yeah,
us.
Yeah, Brian, like Bill Cosby ought to send a gift basket to Brian Williams.
Well, I don't want to know what's going to be in that basket.
Thank you, Brian Williams.
Here's some old pudding that was given to me.
I'm going back royalties. On tour. Yeah.
So no Keisha Knight Pulliam. Kevin's there. Gilbert Gottfried would be fun, but he really is not a great worker, so I don't know how much value he would bring. No Jamie Anderson, no. T.O., no. Who was after T.O.? I'm trying to remember. That was Kate. I would say maybe Kate Gosselin. I could substitute Kate Gosselin for Johnny Damon, honestly.
Yeah, Johnny Damon is such a non-entity. Like, I just feel like Johnny Damon was like, oh, I have to go home now?
Yeah.
Like he has nothing else to do, Johnny Damon.
Exactly. That's part of it. You know, he was fired like that night. Maybe they're just like, all right, we'll bring
you
down.
Since you're here.
Yeah, and maybe they're just like, all right, as a consolation, sort of like a consolation prize for losing a game show. You know, Brandy, Johnny, Ian, you've lost, but we're sending you home with a great prize. We're sending you first class to Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, all you can eat hot dogs and ride the roller coaster as much as you want. What about Sig? Do we need Sig in here?
I mean, Sig kind of did go out on his own note, but I mean, honestly, aside from him flaming out miraculously with that Hooters booze cruise, was there really anything else that Sig could do?
Yeah, I can't find my penis in the morning.
He might have turned down the offer because he was still looking for it.
Yeah. And what about Kenya? I feel like we're missing Kenya.
I feel like it might have been one of two things. Either Kenya didn't want to appear again because of the whole phone gate thing and she felt personally offended, or like Vivica and or Brandy said, like, I would not do this task if Kenya was brought back.
I could also see a third thing, that the production was like, don't call us, we'll call you. Like,
I can imagine a fourth thing where she got a call from Diddy to make a music video for Gone with the Wind Fabulous, and she had to be flown out immediately.
That's probably it. All right, so we have our teams where we're going to see it's Geraldo with Lorenzo, Ian, and Vivica. Lisa's team is Kevin, Brandy, and Johnny. Who has the better team?
That's a good question. I would say Lisa's team is the less hot-headed team, which I guess melts perfectly with Lisa's personality. I think Kevin Jonas was not shown in the best light this episode. I was actually a little turned off to Kevin Jonas. He seemed a little full of himself this episode, whereas like if you have a team with Geraldo, Ian, and Vivica on it, you know they've made up and they're trying to work together, but you can feel a lot of fireworks underneath the surface. We saw it come out a little bit at the end of the episode, but I'm waiting for full-out arguments to break out between those three.
All right, let's talk about the actual ideas of what we're going with. Let's start with Lisa. What do you think of Lisa's approach to this task so far?
The magic of memories.
Yes,
I like it as a general theme. Actually, I think it's good that she has a theme. She has a theme like throughout. You know that she has a theme that ties together the event, the commercial, and her charity, which is what she's selling the vacation packages for. I think having a cohesive theme is the best way to deal with these really disjointed tasks, which is kind of a beast to tackle. That being said, it's also loose enough that she can kind of do whatever she wants with it. I'm not sure about this this commercial. It seems kind of rote, kind of done of like the family and the dad is micromanaged everything, but the family takes off to do whatever they want. I feel like I saw that in like the first gag in an episode of Full House, you know? And considering that it takes up like a minute of time on Full House, I don't know how much it's going to break the ground of commercial filming with Universal Orlando.
Yes, I agree that, you're sort of in a tough spot with these commercials where it's like, you don't want to go too off the wall, but you don't want to go so generic either.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you also want to keep it safe because, Universal really does cater to families. And as we saw from Kenya's faux pas, if you really try to be extremely creative, I won't say highbrow because that Kenya's commercial is kind of the opposite of that. I would say it was like lower back brow.
Whoa.
I think that like you can't really go with too much of a big concept just because you want to appeal to families en masse. And I think that's why both commercials ended up going with like, go to this park with your family, because that's really what people do. There might be diehard Potter fans like myself that might want to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter on their own. But like otherwise, you're going to be bringing your family there.
Okay. What about the Geraldo idea? Tell me about the Geraldo Potter.
Geraldo Potter. Well, so I'm gonna totally nerd out here, and I'm gonna say that seeing Geraldo in those robes totally reminded me that like Geraldo Rivera is probably the closest example we have of Gilderoy Lockhart in the non-magical world. And I know you're not a Potter person, are you, Rob?
I am not.
So a little bit.
A little bit in college, but not anymore.
Watch out. I hear the police are monitoring that podcast nowadays. So just a little bit of background. Gilderoy Lockhart is this like pseudo celebrity in the wizarding world. He's this extremely stuck up person who thinks, everything he touches turns to gold, but it turns out that he's a big fraud and like he really is very, very inept and he really doesn't know how to do anything. And I feel like that's kind of been the story of Geraldo this season. That being said, I don't know how much the concept of Geraldo Rivera dressed up as a Harry Potter character would bring people to the park as much as drive them away from the park.
Yes. Or the idea of an investigative journalist investigating what's going on at Universal.
I want to see like just the commercial be like Geraldo Rivera on the street, just like shoving mics in people's faces, be like, "Where's the Sorcerer's Stone, Billy? Where is it?"
Yeah. I'm Geraldo, and I want to investigate what's really going on with these kids at Universal Studios.
I'm opening up Sirius Black's vault live on TV.
Yeah. It was funny, though, that like he was pitching that idea. Like, I think Lorenzo was like, "All right, so we got a family." He's like, "I got it. I'll be the star of the commercial." I was like, that's so Geraldo.
That is that. Yeah, that's the definition of Geraldo. I also like that he's, you know, he has a slogan for every single task. And this one is the dragon is real. And the only person that I think would like that slogan is a man in his 40s that's probably listening to this on his phone in his car right now.
Yes. Yes, I think so. So did they end up using the slay the dragon or the dragon is real, or did they end up going with discover your own inner hero?
I think they ended up with discovering their own inner hero, which is really funny that like that they just stole the idea from one of the execs, and B, that like Geraldo was still fighting it. Like, you know, after they give the pitch, Ian and Lorenzo are like, "Yeah, I like discover your own inner hero." And Geraldo's like, "Well, maybe the dragon is real would work a little bit better." It's like, "No, Geraldo, we're not going to go with your cockamamie pothead musing of the dragon is real over something that the executive said."
Yes. I mean, are dragons a big part of Harry Potter lore?
No, dragons appear in like 3 out of the 7 books. And either way, they're not major parts.
Yes.
Of the plot. He might be drawn into the fact that in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, I believe there is like a drag, not necessarily like an attraction, but like there is a big life-size dragon. So he's like, "All right, yeah, so there's a dragon, but hey, the dragons are real." I also don't know how much we want to have Geraldo Rivera telling children that dragons are real.
Yes, that seems very scary.
He's getting to the bottom of the situation. Are dragons real?
Yes. I'm Geraldo. Today, I'll investigate. Are dragons real?
I think you could take him even out of the clothes, put him on the street. I feel like it would get the exact same response.
Yes. Will there ever be some sort of George R.R. Martin theme park where Geraldo can use his the dragons are real slogan?
I feel like he would be stabbed right when he walked in before any of that happened.
Yes.
The Jonases send their regards.
Yo. So we ended up with a little bit of a couple of cliffhanger-y type things towards the end of the episode. Brandy and Johnny Damon. This frustrated me. This made me mad when I watched this because, I mean, we're trying to raise money for charity. We're trying to do the right thing here. And we're trying to help Lisa, who's been like an awesome person. I wouldn't have been that mad if on the Geraldo team, like, you know, this was, say, you know, Ian and Vivica A. Fox were out, you know, going on the roller coaster. But the fact that it's Lisa bummed me out.
Yeah, and it's weird because Brandy and Johnny up to this point have kind of been portrayed as, for lack of a better term, mindless drones that'll like do what the project manager tells them. And even when their project manager, they'll kind of go with the flow. So it's a little weird that that Brandy got a little bit of like the wild child aspect of her to be like, "Well, we could buy the props or we could go on the roller coaster." It was oddly like out of character for these people. I don't think I'm as like up in arms about it as you are, just because I think I'm not sure how much like the props and costumes will really have an effect on the shoot, especially if they're going to show that it's just a normal family. I'm not sure how much that was required. And I, you know, we all know in Celebrity Apprentice slang that props and costumes means you go in the corner and, you know, twiddle your thumbs for a little bit. So maybe they felt so shunned that they wanted to kind of get back at her by taking roller coasters and buying hot dogs.
Yeah, I don't know. They're like the coconut bandits of Celebrity Apprentice.
They're just devouring chicken wings and throwing the bones all over the park.
Yeah. So it just made me feel bad that they were not working hard for Lisa, because Lisa would have never done that to them.
That's very true. And I mean, as much as Kevin Jonas kind of seems to have a slowly tightening grip over Lisa's team. I feel like he is very respectful of her. And I think they are too, to a certain extent, but it was a momentary lapse in, I won't say momentary lapse in judgment because they did it twice. It was two momentary lapse in judgments for them, but we'll see if that pans out, considering that, that if that's their big cliffhanger moment as compared to Geraldo's staff who have lost one of their actors. I think one situation is paltry compared to the other.
Well, even more important, you have to book your entertainment. And if you can't get Olivia Newton-John to come in and sing Magic. Yes. Yeah.
If you don't get her, you can get a Tucker Channing. There are worse things I can do from Greece.
Yeah. So if you can't have that really to bring down the house, Geraldo was going to bring in Stephen Fishback lookalike Josh Groban.
Do they really have they been mistaken for each other?
That's what the word is.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's I'm jealous of Fishback or of Groban. I would want to look like either one of them.
Yes. And so it doesn't seem like Josh Groban is returning Geraldo's calls. And so it looks like Geraldo's team might be forced to do the entertainment themselves. And nothing, we said that there was nothing more Geraldo than Geraldo appearing in the commercial, but there would truly be nothing more Geraldo than Geraldo being the, his own entertainment at his own commercial viewing party of him in a commercial.
Well, I think that it'd be also, it's like Geraldo Rivera's Night of 1,000 Stars, but he's the only star. Yes. I'd also be funny if he brought out Ian to do the entertainment and he made the jingle. I don't know, like, it's Universal in Orlando.
Is it true that the character Jenna Maroney is based on Geraldo?
I would say if you ask Geraldo, it'd probably be the opposite.
Yes. Yes. He was based on Jenna Maroney.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So is there anything else from the episode that you want to hit on? Because I also want to talk about the countdown show.
Let's also touch on the fact that Geraldo has zero fundraisers at the moment.
Yeah. But they said that that's ultimately not going to be the decision maker. But that was, I think, seemed more like they feel like Geraldo was just going to murder Lisa. Like, if Geraldo doesn't win the fundraising, then there's no way he can win this.
No, yeah, because considering that's his, like, ace in the hole. Even Vivica brought it up of, like, Geraldo is amazing at fundraising. Lisa's amazing at event implementation. So, like, if Geraldo fails at his, you know, if he fails his five-hole task, like, that's going to look so, so badly on him. But I'm assuming he'll come through in the nick of time. If Josh Groban doesn't perform, I'm sure he'll give him a buttload of cash.
Whoa. There you go. Who will give who a buttload of cash?
I guess Josh Groban will give it to him at the time, though Geraldo may return it afterwards of like, thank you for loaning me that money.
Okay, so Josh Groban, you think, could be the real secret weapon here?
Yeah, he could be the, like Tim Tebow was the secret weapon last year. I think Josh Groban could be the one this year. It's all about the Christians with their big donations on Celebrity Apprentice.
Okay. Wait, is Geraldo that much of a figure in the religious world?
I'm assuming he's the patron saint of journalism, I'm assuming.
I don't know. Yeah, I really don't know that much about him. I know politically he's right-leaning, but I'm not sure, you know, where he fits in on the religion stuff.
Well, I haven't gotten that far in my reading of Geraldo Rivera's memoirs. So once I get to that page, I'll let you know.
You have Geraldo Rivera's memoirs?
Yes, a kind friend sent it to me. It's Geraldo Rivera's memoirs called, and I'm kidding you not, Exposing Myself. And I've read all of one chapter so far.
What a nice person must have sent you Geraldo's memoirs.
Yes, it's the nicest person around.
All right, let's talk about some of the things from the clip show from Monday night, which I found myself, I enjoyed some of it, but I feel like I was also frustrated with some of it. I feel like I don't know who put these clips together.
It's weird because you had like top five for some of them and top four for others. So like, could the producers really not come up with like one more favorite fail or one more top fundraiser?
No. I also felt like there was a lot of recency bias on the lists that they came up with.
I would agree. You know, as much as magnanimous as Kevin Jonas's firing was, I don't know how memorable it was.
Number five most memorable firing of all time.
Yeah, and Geraldo versus Kevin is one of the number five top feud. I think that's an upset.
Yeah, that's true.
I would put Lisa Lampanelli and Lou Ferrigno above that any day.
I almost feel like that there was a couple seasons that I felt like they, I don't know if they didn't have the time to pop in the tapes or anything like that. Like, it's almost like they had a fair amount of stuff from last season. And then I feel like they had a lot of stuff from like season one and season two. And then it was almost like, yeah, we're out of time. We didn't go back. Like, we remember stuff from last season and we went back and watched season one and two. But seasons three, four, five, we just don't have any of that stuff in the show.
We didn't see any of season three. Season four at least had like the meatloaf meltdown thing, and it had the John Rich and Marley Matlin stuff in terms of the fundraising. I think season five had, you know, it obviously had Mechanical Dog. Actually, I think that's the
that was
only...
last season, wasn't it?
No, that was season. Oh no, Mechanical Dog was last season. You're right. Season five.
Yes,
was...
I felt like there was a very disturbing lack of Aubrey O'Day in the reunion show or in the clip show.
I completely agree. Considering that Aubrey feuded with like nearly everyone that season, like they showed Arsenio Hall in his winter package yelling at someone, but they didn't show that it was Aubrey on the other end. Like, that could have been another task as well. Again, put vagina on the back of the neck in there with top feuds.
yeah So I feel like Geraldo versus Kevin Jonas, that was a reach. I felt like they needed to put something in there. Nene versus Star Jones, I had forgotten about that, but I don't have a problem with it.
Well, the thing about these feuds were that they were also, like, two of them were very one-sided. I mean, Nene versus Stones was really just Nene yelling at Star, and Star just walking away. And then, similarly with Meatloaf, it was Meatloaf screaming his head off at Gary, and Gary just kind of standing there taking it. It's not really, it's a very one-sided feud.
Yeah. LaToya versus Omarosa. I felt like this was a reach also. I felt like what was good about this was Little John's commentary. I feel like Little John was a fantastic narrator of this, but I feel like I would have rather seen LaToya Jackson versus Nene Leakes when she calls her Casper the Ghost.
Yeah. Though I think they showed glimpses of the best part of that feud, which was the Michael Clark Duncan or Michael Duncan, Michael Duncan Clark, if you're LaToya Jackson. Her comments, I'm sad they didn't show the one of her in the limo after she was fired, where she said that didn't she allude to like Omarosa pulling the plug on Michael Clark Duncan?
Yeah. then they showed Meatloaf and Gary Busey. That was fantastic. That was even better than I remembered.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot that Meatloaf was like threatening to put Gary Busey in the hospital after like 4 minutes and like screaming the F word a billion times, and not just like screaming, like bellowing at the top of his lungs. Like I had totally forgotten about that. You're right.
Yeah. And then they had Piers and Omarosa, number one. I thought there was too much Piers and Omarosa in the show. I feel like it was Piers and Omarosa was fine if you want to have it on the list, but I don't think that's the number one feud in the history of Celebrity Apprentice.
Well, I think it's the most memorable, at least, I think, for diehard Celebrity Apprentice fans.
No, everything, the number one on everything should have been Joan Rivers and Annie Duke.
I feel like that'd be a very anticlimactic clip show.
It's always, I mean, that's the answer. Like, for, you know, memorable firings and top feuds, like, it's all one, you know?
That's true. And I think the boardroom backstabs and betrayals should have been culled together with the top feuds, because there really wasn't, especially with Piers and Omarosa, they used, like, some of the same clips from the feud stuff for the boardroom stuff as well. So there was... They just happened to be like feuds that happened in the boardroom versus feuds that might have happened outside of the boardroom, but you didn't need to split hairs there.
Yeah. When they got to the favorite fails, I also had some problems with this list. They ended up doing number four, Kenya Moore, Baby Got Buns. That was the number four. I felt like the bigger fail from her this season was her on the boat.
Yeah, but I mean, but they won the task. So I think they couldn't really say that it was a fail. I'm a little surprised to see it as well, though. I think some of our listeners I know have gone back to us after the big episode last week, and they have said that that Baby Got Buns might have been the worst thing on there. And maybe we need to pontificate on it more, but I'm trying to think of like some other bad presentations, and I'm currently drawing a blank right now, but I'm sure there are some bad ones that stack up to Kenya's.
Yeah, there has to have been worse stuff than that. Rodman misspelling Melania. That was not something that was top of mind for me. I guess that's bad.
Yeah, I guess that's bad considering that like she's a major figurehold in the Trump household, and that they're catering directly to Donald Trump. If you spell his current wife's name wrong, I think that's a very big problem. I agree with you. I didn't realize the weight of the situation until they like showed the further scenes of them pointing out in the boardroom, and I'm like, oh right, he spilled, and he was the final one to check through it. Like he effed up pretty badly.
Yeah, the Clint Black thing, I was very happy that that got included.
I was so happy they like almost showed the whole thing in its entirety. The whole, you know, do it by hand, and the whole like stock cartoon bubbles that were so bad in the commercial.
Yeah, that was great. And the mechanical dog thing, you know, still great. Still great PC.
There's probably like 10 to 15 things that will make me in this world that will make me laugh no matter how many times I watch it. And Mechanical Dog is definitely near the top of that list.
Yeah. I did not care about the charity raising the most money. I did not care about that list.
No, that was something that, like, if you had some time on Wikipedia, you could have looked up. I don't think it needed to be. It was not subjective. You didn't need to cobble that together.
Yeah. They showed the boardroom backstabs, Joan Rivers and Andy, we talked about. Vincent Pastore and Piers Morgan was a good one. I had forgotten about that.
Yes, Rob has a podcast.
alum.
I wouldn't say he's not a Mount Rushmore member. I would say he's part of like the Rob has a podcast Taliban almost at this point.
Yeah. And Richard Hatch, another RHAP alum, versus David Cassidy. I was surprised that was in the top five.
I had forgotten about that. The little person thing had come, you know, flooding back to me. I had completely forgotten about that. But yeah, I feel like it was fine. Maybe they felt like they had to throw some more Celebrity Apprentice 4 stuff in there, but yeah. it was pretty unremarkable considering it was also like the first episode.
But even like Lisa Lampanelli and Lou Ferrigno would have been, I think, better on this list. You know, we had Kenya Moore and Vivica Fox, Phone Gate. I'm not sure if that's number two.
I think it's still a pretty amazing moment. And I mean, we were able to grasp on it last week, but I think when we'll look back on this season, presumably next week, we'll be able to look back on what a big fun event PhoneGate was. And I think especially compared to 3, 4, and 5, I think it's at least better than that.
Yeah. And then again, Piers and Omarosa. I really was reminded how much I don't miss Omarosa.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like the stuff that, like, I mean, Piers was just killing her in those arguments too. There was that kind of embarrassing one when they showed it in the beginning of All Stars where like Piers was insulting her and Omarosa was firing back with like, "So is your mama." And it's like,
Yo mama.
You know, like, Wilmer Valderrama when you need him.
Right. As somebody who, my job is talking about reality TV, and I don't care for Omarosa as much as I love reality TV villains. To me, I don't care for Omarosa because I feel like Omarosa never seems to be enjoying the act of being the villain. Like, I feel like Omarosa does it with like sort of like an air of like, oh, I'm like, I'm doing this because I'm smarter. But I just feel like she's not a great character to me. It's just like she's just a sour person all the time and is like just wants to throw people under the bus. But she's not somebody that does it and really like is fun about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I will say that I think I probably enjoy Omarosa more than you do, but I think there is a certain amount of diminishing returns to her. Like her stuff in her first season, the very first Apprentice, was fun of, you know, getting hit on the head with the piece of plaster. And then, like, you know, I think she accused someone of racism later on in the season. I think it's when you watch Omarosa more, you slowly begin to realize that she's not buying into being a villain like, say, Richard Hatch does. Or even like to a certain extent, like Nini does, or even a little bit of Kenya, like she's playing the victim card all the time. And that gets old after a while. And especially, you know, we've seen her in Celebrity Apprentice for 3 seasons now. And even on All Stars, I feel like she was playing that victim card extra hard every single time it happened. And so she wasn't like, I think people remember her for like screaming and yelling and arguing with people, but it's really not that actually. She's a lot more subdued and icy, but she's also trying to make people pity her at the same time.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike, we will be back to cover the live Celebrity Apprentice finale in our regular time slot, 10:15 p.m. on Monday. This week, I was covering the night 2 of the Better Call Saul premiere on Post Show Recaps, which you could check out as well. Antonio and I will be covering that show weekly on Post Show Recaps. We will be doing a later version of the Better Call Saul recap next week. So, we took a week off from the live schedule for the week where Celebrity Apprentice had a clip show, and then we'll go back to Celebrity Apprentice for the live finale, and I'm very excited for the live finale because they're always fun.
Yeah, I am too. I'm, you know, we'll, it'll be, I feel like it's going to be a little stretched out considering that, you know, we have 2 hours, but Celebrity Apprentice also kind of adopts the Big Brother policy of like functioning as sort of a live reunion before the winner's revealed at the very end. And I'll be excited to see Trump bring up some people again. I'll be excited to see if PhoneGate gets brought to the surface again. And, you know, last season we saw a huge argument between Claudia and Omarosa that Gary Busey got in the middle of. So I can only imagine what's going to happen this year.
All right. Well, great job, Mike. Follow Mike Bloom on Twitter. He's at a Mike Bloom type on Twitter. And also on post show recaps, Mike has recapped what's going on Girls and also on Broad City with Taylor Cotter. So check that out on postshowrecaps.com.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We basically just did a one-time kind of sit down talking about these two shows. They're very different stylistically. The media compares them a lot just because they have very similar subject matter on the surface. So I was thrilled to be able to talk with Taylor about what we like about the two shows, how the shows might have gone wrong creatively, but why we love them and all that type of stuff. So stay tuned for post-show recaps, and you might be seeing me later this week as well. So you'll be hearing my voice a lot. Hopefully you don't get too tired of it, and hopefully I won't get too hoarse from screaming on the roller coasters I've been
on. Yes. All right, Mike, great job, and we'll talk to you on Monday night.
Sounds good.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That's our Celebrity Apprentice recap. Mike Bloom in the house, and we are just getting started here this week on Rob Has a Podcast. On Tuesday night, we had the Miss Survivor debates, and go ahead and check that out if you missed it. That was a lot of fun. Plus, on Wednesday night, it's the event you've been waiting for. Nicole and I will get together to talk about our preview of Survivor 30. That's going to be live on video. Hope you can join us. It's going to be in the regular Survivor time slot, 8 p.m. Eastern. That'll be 5 p.m. Pacific if you can join us live. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll go through all 18 players who are competing in the new Survivor and tell you our thoughts about every single person along the way. So hope you guys can make it out for that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. robiswebsite.com/iTunes or subscribe on the Rahap app. Go to robiswebsite.com/app for the Android and iOS version. Hope you have a great day, everybody. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.